We're going to begin to talk tonight about the Christian worldview with an introduction tonight. And I don't know how long we're going to be in this, okay? So there is the Christian worldview. How we look at the world around us is quite different than how lost people look at it, or the pagan worldview. There are several different worldviews. We may not get into all those, but we're going to get into what the Christian worldview is. And I want to begin this study to accomplish two things. Number one, to help us defend what we believe and why we believe it. And number two, to help us understand why the world says what they say and believes what they believe, and thus we can understand why they act like they act, okay? When you turn on your TV, you're seeing everything antithetical to the Christian worldview, right? So let's begin to read our text. I think this is a good text to start with. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, he's going to tell us what we were like before we got saved. Then he's going to tell us what we're like now after we get saved. Beginning in verse 17 of Ephesians 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in other words, like the lost, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, they have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If it so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, in Jesus, that you put off the old, well, we say old man, concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. So what we see there is the world outside of Christ, number one, in verse 17, they walk in the vanity of their mind, the futility of their mind, a life that is empty and vain, without purpose, without meaning, because they have no spiritual understanding. Do you think that those rioters or those people who burn and loot in Portland have any spiritual understanding whatsoever? No, they don't. And that's why they do what they do. That's what, I know we're going public now, but I'm talking to Maxine Waters right now. That's why you can say what you say about trying to get them to continue to riot and continue and double down and be more confrontational, Maxine Waters, right? What's that, Facebook come up with something there? I don't know. But anyway, so they have their understanding darkened in verse 18. They are spiritually separated from God, ignorant of God's truth, blindness and spiritual and moral. They have a heart problem, not an intellect problem. They go to the best schools, you can say the best schools. They go to higher learning, and yet they become more ignorant and more ignorant about what the world is about them. Verse 19 said they're past feeling. In other words, they're morally insensitive. Verse 19 also says that they're behaviorally depraved. They lack moral restraint, all kinds of sin. I heard about, you know, I knew this would happen whenever they licensed same-sex marriage, Supreme Court. And I knew this would happen because now, I think it's in New York or Pennsylvania, with this, one of the parents wants to marry one of their siblings. Right? Boy, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I can figure out that's not going to go good, right? And so this it's all this stuff that comes out of a mind that's darkened, and they don't know God, and they're totally lost. Now, the Bible, as we look at this Christian worldview here, what is a worldview? That's the first thing on there. John, I got three slides tonight, okay? What is a worldview? Well, a worldview consists of one's beliefs, convictions and values from which a person tries to understand and make sense out of the world and life. Christians look at this world totally different than lost people do, right? The beliefs of a Christian look at the world through Scripture. Christian worldview, we're solely grounded in the Word of God. We look at everything through the Word of God. Now, there's two major beliefs or presuppositions made that make up the Christian worldview. Number one, the eternal existence of the personal, transcendent, triune creator God. That's number one. Number two is the God of Scripture has revealed his character, his purposes and will in the inspired, infallible, inerrant revelation called the Bible. The Bible is our standard for all belief and behavior. That's why we can't behave like the world, right? We're going to look at that next week. The first thing that on the foundation of building a worldview is have the right view of Scripture, that it is authoritative and that it is sufficient. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. Now, you might want to turn there with me. Go to Psalms 14, verse 1. I want you to look at Psalms 14, verse 1. We often quote that psalm. In fact, it's mentioned two or three other times in the Old Testament. In Psalms 14, 1, the psalmist says, "The fool have said in his heart, there is no God." The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we usually stop right there, don't we? But look at the rest of the verse. "They are corrupt, and they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their works are abominable, and they don't do good. Now, people today are talking, I'm going to say this, okay? I'm going to try to be nice. So I know we're on public now. But when that public starts hindering me from what I want to say, we're going to throw public out the window, right? But people today, now I want to tie this to the pandemic, okay? And without offending anybody here this morning. But we have people in government, in science, in health, and politicians, and the Bible says that if they don't know God, they're a fool, right? Amen. They're corrupt. And so listen to me closely. Here we are taking our orders from them. In this pandemic, they're telling us what we can wear, where we can go, telling us to stay in our house. They're telling us where we can't go, and they're telling us what we must do. And we're marching back to the order of a bunch of fools, right? Ain't that what the Bible says? And so we're taking our marching orders from fools rather than what God says about this situation, okay? And that's all I'll be like Forrest Gump. That's all I'll say about that, okay? Now, the anchors of the Christian worldview are three. Number one, know who God is. By the way, I pulled this, all this I'm going to be sharing with you from the Bible, but also many other resources about the Christian worldview. Number one, know who God is. If you don't know who God is, your view is going to be skewed. Number two, know who man is. Man's fallen nature, right? And here we are taking orders from people that are reprobate, that are depraved. Are y'all getting my drift yet? And then number three, know who Jesus is. Because if you don't know those three things, you had the wrong world view. Number two, what are the benefits of embracing the Christian worldview? Well, number one, it answers all the important questions of life. No other worldview can answer these questions. Like, how did the world come into being? We believe as creationists, and I believe as young earth creationist, the earth is 2,000 years old and was created in six literal 24-hour periods, okay? How did this all come? You know, it wasn't by this explosion. It wasn't by that explosion. By the way, let me go ahead and inject this right here. You heard about wherever it was, Australia or somewhere, the Navy saw these three unidentified flying objects. And it wasn't Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Schumer, okay? But they saw these three unidentified flying objects. They were like pyramid-shaped, right? And they don't know what they were. And one of them went down into the ocean, you know. And I'm going to tell you upon the authority of God's word, if they're trying to look for life on other planets, what does the Bible say? All of God's interests are poured out on planet Earth, right? And so if they say they found life, I wouldn't believe them because I still believe the Bible, right? So I don't know what they were. You can bet they probably came from Walmart is selling them coming from China, okay? All right. What is true knowledge and truth? That's what this worldview will answer for you. What is the nature of man? See, what do they tell us about man? We were created, little plasmas, we become a monkey, you know, and we're evolving, we're getting better, right? The Bible says we're getting worse, right? We were created as human beings, you know. A human being is a human being. A monkey is a monkey, right? A tree is a tree. Everything was created after its kind. And we'll talk about that when we get into the doctrine of creation. Now, how should I live? Okay, if you have a worldview like many of them lives, you just go for the gusto, do whatever you have to, whatever you want to do, eat, drink, and be merry. But we know that they're accountable. We are accountable to a sovereign God, a creator God, right? How should I live? Where are we going? See? You know, why am I here? Where am I going? They don't know. They have no clue where they're going, you know? And what they should be doing while they're here. What happens to a person at and after death? You heard somebody that doesn't have the world view, you know, the grave is the end of it. That's it, you know? And they're sadly mistaken. What is truth? What is right and wrong? What is the meaning of human history? Right? And so everything that they believe and everything that they teach, okay, especially in the colleges that are indoctrinating our kids, are teaching something that is foreign to what the Bible teaches, okay? Now, I hate to tell you the truth. I hope you don't get offended at that. But we take our care with our children 18 years and make sure we protect their eyes and ears, and then we send them off to a pagan university to hear all kind of junk, okay? Then when we can answer all these questions, then we can begin to answer the more difficult questions, such as, do you think homosexuality is a sin or an alternative lifestyle? Number two, is abortion wrong or is it a woman's right? Should capital punishment be allowed or abolished? Now there's not enough to have defunding the police. The left wants to do away with the police totally. Can't you imagine how that'll look? You can't even go out your home no more. I'm going to have to go stay with Rex or Jason, you know, so I can be protected, right? And they would say, buy your own ammunition, get out, you know. Should people be drafted for the military? Where should more energy be directed, protecting the seas and the whales or cutting down trees to build homes? Would you vote Republican, Democrat, nonpartisan, or something else, or not at all? See, we find the answer to that whenever our Christian worldview tells us who to vote for, right? Do you think democracy is better than communism or socialism? And we have a bunch of young people today that have been taught that communism is better, and in fact, in the polls that they do, a high percentage of young people want socialism, right? Do you think democracy is better than communism or socialism? Should prostitution be legitimate business practice? There are people that think it ought to be, right? Should we legalize marijuana and other such drugs? Now, don't get me started on this, but okay, I'll do it. I am not for marijuana in any form and any method that's ever used, amen? That's what I believe. That's what I believe the Bible teaches, okay? I see there's a lot here, don't disagree with me. I hope you're not on it. Should marriage be defined as occurring between one man and one woman? Should the border be open? You see, if you have the Christian worldview, these answers are very simple. Should we use fetal tissue research? Do you know that Biden has reversed Trump's order not to use fetal tissue research anymore? In other words, taking aborted babies and these abortion mills, like just cranking out abortion and dead babies so that they could do fetal tissue research. That's wrong. Are y'all with me? That's wrong. Amen? That's wrong. Do away with police? Pack the Supreme Court for political reasons? That's wrong, right? Now, Should we clone human beings? You know? God forbid they should do it and we look like everybody in California, right? I don't believe you should clone human beings. I won't go into all the ins and outs of it, but God created human life, right? Number three, what distinguishes the Christian worldview from other worldviews? Well, number one, The Christian worldview recognizes that God is the source of all truth. Number two, all truth relates back to the understanding that God and his purposes for this life has purposes for this life and the next. And having said that, that means this. Truth is absolute rather than relative. A lot of people today believe in relative truth. It's just whatever your situation is, whoever you're around, you know, your truth can fluctuate, can float. But the Bible is full of absolute truth. It's good for any situation and any instance, right? And then also, truth is absolute because it comes from the one eternal God. Absolute truth depends on an absolute personal truth of God. God can be trusted in all that he does and all that he says, right? There are moral absolutes and there are doctrinal absolutes, and truth is absolute. It doesn't change according to who you're around, right? Number four, how does the Christian worldview apply in our daily life? How will we flesh out the Christian worldview in our daily life? Well, number one, the Christian worldview is offered as one true view of God or life, whose single source of truth and reality is in the Creator God. It serves as a bright light reflecting the glory of God in the midst of an intellectual darkness, right? And secondly, the Christian worldview can be used in evangelism to answer questions and objections of the believer. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means set him apart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, we defend what we believe. You're able to defend what you believe. Now, ultimately, somebody is not going to come to saving faith. It's by faith. It's not by arguing objective truth with them. It is a work of the Spirit of God, right? That brings a person to faith. But it is good to know why you believe it and give a reason for the hope that is in you, okay? And we need to do that. We must remember that saving faith comes by believing the gospel through faith. Salvation comes by grace through faith. I can talk to somebody all day long about why I believe in God created. I can talk to them all about the sanctity of life. I can talk to them all about regeneration. I can talk to them all about everything that has to do with the Christian worldview. But until God deals and speaks to the heart, they must come by faith, right? By faith, Hebrews says, you believe that the worlds were framed, right? Now, Romans 1, 16 and 17 says this. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. See, we begin our life by faith, and we end our life by faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I've told you the story about Martin Luther before. He was in the Catholic Church, and he came to the realization through God that the Pope is not the head of the church, that we're not saved by works. The scripture always takes precedent over papal decrees. And he came to that because what he was reading in Habakkuk, and he was reading in the book of Romans, you know, the just shall live by faith. And then he went on and died because they kicked him out of the Catholic Church and killed him, right? You know, that is kind of strange. And then back then they kicked out people who were right doctrinally and killed them. Today we're supposed to kick out people who are not doctrinally sound, right? So it's kind of strange there. Carl F. H. Henry said this, personal faith is a gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses the truth as a means of conviction and persuasion. See? I like Christian apologetics. I like to defend why I believe what I believe. But ultimately, they're won by the gospel, right? And that's what we should do. Y'all awful quiet tonight, okay? All right? Are y'all going somewhere after church to get something to eat and ain't told me about it? All right? And then thirdly, the Christian worldview is helpful in discipleship to mature a true believer in Christ in one's Christian faith. It helps believers understand the world from God's perspective and to understand life according to God's will. I was reminded about Jeremiah 9:23. Well, it touched my heart when I read it again. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Amen. Now, I got a slide I want to show you. When Faye and I, you can't see it, there's no way I could have got it bigger. But when Faye and I went to Creation Museum, thank God, you know, we thanked the man that gave us the money to go, you know, and that was my bucket list. And I got another bucket list. Y'all want to hear it? No, joke on you. But that was our bucket list. We wanted to go to the Noah's Ark, the Ark Encounter, and we wanted to go to Christian Museum. And I want to tell you, as your pastor, folks, that's where you need to take your vacation, okay? And there's a place you can stay right between the both of them on 75. One morning we got up, went to the Ark Encounter. Boy, I love that. And I love Ken Ham. And then the next day, we got up and went to the Creation Museum, which is up there close to Cincinnati. I never thought I would be driving in Cincinnati, you know. And boy, that was great. It's totally about what you see on the screen. They call it the seven seas of history. Notice what they are. And as you went from one area of the building to another, each one of those apartments dealt with one of these seven seas. Number one, creation. It was refreshing to be reminded about the doctrine of creation. So you begin with creation. Then you go into another department, deals with corruption. And that's the fall, okay? The fall. These are major things that happened in the history of the world. Corruption. And then catastrophe. Anybody make a guess what that was? The flood, right? And I'm telling you what, Brother Russell, you raised your hand first, so you get to buy me lunch, okay? Catastrophe, right? The world doesn't believe in a great flood. They believe that an Indian dragging a stick created the Grand Canyon, right? And everything you see, the geological ages and everything else, came from the flood. All the fossils came from the flood. Unless I'm mistaken, they have not found a dinosaur fossil laying next to a man. Why? Because they died before man was created. I mean, they came to create it on day six, both of them. But due to the climate change or the flood after that and people hunting them, they died off, right? Dinosaurs were not billions of years before man, right? You can't have death and corruption before sin happened in the Garden of Eden, right? So that's what we believe as Christians, okay? So there's catastrophe, there's confusion. Anybody want to make a guess about what that might be talking about? 1960. Yeah, no, the last election, amen? The Tower of Babel. When God confused their languages. And then the next one was Christ, okay? He comes on the scene. The Redeemer comes on the scene. And then the cross, right? And then consummation. That's the end of all things. I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's our hope. Christ coming in the air at the rapture, and we were up there in heaven with him in the third heaven, and we come with him at the end of the tribulation and come with him at the second coming. He sets up his millennial reign, then we get on into the New Jerusalem and things like that, the consummation of all things. The world will have us to believe that man is going to destroy the planet. Again, I tell you, I do not believe in man-made global warming. I believe in God-made global warming. God has wound this universe up to last only so long, right? And he is the one who's going to destroy it by fire, not man, right? I don't think y'all on the same page with me tonight, okay? Are y'all on the same page with me tonight? Huh? Right there, okay. We just come off a revival, show a little unction, okay? So we believe that God's in control of all this. I can drive an SUV, I don't smoke, but I can smoke cigars, I can do whatever I want to, right? It is God who's going to destroy the planet, right? Somebody tell me how he's going to do it. By fire. Man, you're going to be one of my star pupils, brother. Right? Going to do it by fire, right? You know what the world system says? Global warming, that's a way for them to get rich, right? That's a way for them to get rich. And we're taught that in schools. You're going to be taught that. You're going to be taught that in all avenues, right? That we're going to not be. Well, AOC says we're not. Well, that was 2 years ago. Now we only got 8 years to go, right? Now, how stupid. This woman has an economic degree. I'd like to look at her teacher, you know. But anyway, those are the seven C's according to Answers in Genesis. And I want to encourage you. I mean, don't go spend your money anywhere else. You go to the Creation Museum and to the Ark Encounter. That will be well worth your trip to go, okay? Now, next week we're going to look at the authority and sufficiency of Scripture. That's where it all starts. Brother Robert's going to be preaching in the morning, and I'll be at night talking about the second part of the Christian worldview. It all starts with that. If you do not have a right view and a high view of Scripture, then your worldview is skewed, right? And that's what we're going to talk about next week, okay?